Good afternoon, everyone. This is the March 30th, 2022 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Good afternoon, Keelan. Please call the roll.
Good afternoon. Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the Council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the city's made several avenues available to the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov, and channel 30. The public may provide written testimony to the council by emailing the council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. And anyone can email the council clerk at councilclerk@portlandoregon.gov with any questions about how meetings are conducted. We'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance, in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions, reports, or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
Thank you very much. We have one item on our agenda this afternoon, an important item. Item number 230, a proclamation, please.
Proclaim March 31st, 2022 to be Transgender Day of Visibility.
Colleagues, 4 years ago, Basic Rights Oregon reached out to a member of my staff, Seraphy Allen, asking that the city formally recognize and honor our transgender community by celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility. Since then, this annual event has brought our community, city staff, and members of our LGBTQIA+ and Friends affinity group together to celebrate via council presentation and proclamation. Though the global pandemic and the virtual council setting have obviously limited the size of this event in recent years, the commitment to recognizing and celebrating our trans community has by no means lessened. We are witnessing an increase in anti-LGBTQIA plus legislation, continued housing challenges for our trans neighbors, and ongoing violence towards the LGBTQIA plus community. While the work has obviously started, there's more that the city must do to fully recognize, support, and uplift our LGBTQIA plus community. Trans lives matter in Portland. And I'm proud to stand by you as the mayor of this city. We're joined today by an esteemed group of panelists who will speak on the needs from the city for our transgender community here in Portland. I'll turn this over to Lex Yakushovsky, our LGBTQIA plus policy analyst within the Office of Equity and Human Rights, to start the conversation, introduce our panelists, and MC the presentation. Welcome, Lex.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Thank you, City Commissioners, for having us here this afternoon. My name is Lex Yakushovsky. I use they, them pronouns. And as the mayor mentioned, I'm the city's LGBTQIA plus policy analyst in the Office of Equity and Human Rights. As the first position of its kind at the city, my role is really to drive internal policy development as well as external policy development, and also to serve as the LGBTQIA+ community liaison for the city. And it is in my liaison role that I'm here today. So while I'm neutral in the policy ask being made, I fervently support the community members that you're going to be hearing from today. I trust in their lived experience, their expertise, and their understanding of Portland's LGBTQIA+ community. I'm truly humbled to serve as a supporting bridge between them and our city government today. And, you know, Transgender Day of Visibility has a history internationally going back to 2009 and 2019 in the Portland City Council chamber. The group of volunteer advocates who come together for Transgender Day of Visibility is the closest thing that the city has to an LGBTQIA+ community commission or policy think tank. And the group has historically brought specific policy asks for council's consideration. I want to take a moment to also thank everybody who has been part of this year's planning committee, as well as folks who've been involved in years past, for their dedication to this work. Before we begin, I'd also like to give a special shout out and thank you to Seraphie Allen in the mayor's office, who is moving on from the city at the end of this week. Seraphie has made an indelible mark on the city and this work. From my role, I've been able to see how their ardent support for the LGBTQIA+ community, and specifically the transgender community, has reverberated throughout City Hall. And as the mayor mentioned, has been integral to honoring this day over the last few years, as well as the larger work that's been happening throughout the city. I'm so grateful to have been able to work with them and learn from them over the last 10 months in my role, and truly wish them the best in their journey ahead. With that, I will pass the mic over to Zalos Marchant, who's going to be leading the TDEV programming today. Welcome, Zalos.
There I am. Thank you. Thank you, Lex, so much. Thank you, City Council. Thank you, Mayor. As a fellow data and policy wonk with Lex, I want to uplift the importance of the work around data collection in our community, as well as the work to make the city a better employer for LGBTQIA+, two-spirit, and trans folks. One aspect of visibility is ensuring that we have representation in the workforce, including government workforce. Creating a better work environment for transgender folks of all walks of life can help move the dial on this. Rachel Crandall Crocker started the Transgender Day of Visibility 13 years ago in response to frustration that the only well-known day associated with our community, the trans community, was the Transgender Day of Remembrance. As you hopefully remember, that day is an annual observance on November 20th that honors the memory of the transgender people whose lives were lost in acts of anti-transgender violence. For 13 years around the world, we have celebrated the accomplishments of transgender and gender non-conforming people while raising awareness of the work that still needs to be done to achieve trans justice. We thank the city for joining us in this recognition. Today, we will be hearing from three community members who have been a part of the Transgender Day of Visibility for the past few years, and in some cases, every year, and are representing the group today. They will be outlining much of what we have addressed in the past years at TDEV and about the transgender community's unique challenges on behalf of the larger group of advocates who have been involved in this process, who I truly want to recognize. We want to focus the discussion on the vision behind our policy this year. And at its essence, we would like to hear a commitment to continue to proactively build the LGBTQIA+ and transgender equity work at the city beyond the LGBTQIA+ analyst position we have today. There are models that we can look to across the United States around how to organize this work, but what is true in many cities where there is a significant LGBTQIA plus in trans community is the presence of an office manager with the director level staff. And of course, all city budgets are not equal. Everybody has very specific nuances and demographics. But what we are looking for today is a commitment to work with us to build on these asks that we've been asking for several years. With that, I would like to pass this to my wonderful colleague and friend, Mickey Gillette from Basics Right Oregon. She is a trans woman, a playwright, and the major gifts donor, over at Basic Rights Oregon, a longtime advocate. She helped form Portland's first TDEV committee back in 2019. Mickey, I'm going to pass this to you.
Thank you, Zelos. It's muted. Thank you to the counselors for, again, recognizing Trans Day of Visibility. My name is Mickey Gillette. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm the Major Gifts Officer at Basic Rights Oregon. When we first organized the city's Trans Day of Visibility program in 2019, we hoped to shine a light on the achievements of our community, as well as the stark challenges it faces. As Republican-led legislatures around the country target and persecute trans youth, the need to advocate for equity for our community has never felt greater than it does now. Behind the headlines, the disparities faced by trans people tell a story of daily systemic oppression. While population-wide data is still not collected regarding sexual orientation or gender identity, the most recent U.S. trans survey conducted by the National Center for Transgender Equality, which constitutes the most thorough census of our community, revealed a wealth of troubling statistics. It found that trans people are 3 times as likely as their cis peers to be unemployed, and that they're 4 times as likely to live in extreme poverty. Nearly 1/3 of respondents to the survey reported having experienced homelessness during their lives. Of those who had accessed homeless shelters, 70% reported experiencing some kind of mistreatment because of their gender identities. And 44% said they'd left the shelter they'd been staying at due to the severity of the mistreatment. We're aware that because trans acceptance in our culture is relatively new, the depth of the barriers our community members face may still be unknown to those around us. We want you to hear that those barriers are real and ever present, though. In 2019, when I spoke to you, I asked that you weave transgender justice into all of the city's equity plans, and I still ask that today. Portland is viewed as a haven to trans people around the country, many of whom feel compelled to leave the cities and states where their elected leaders are actively demonizing them and travel to a place like Portland. You on the council have the ability to create a Portland that truly is equitable for trans people. We look forward to sharing with you this afternoon our vision of how you can do that. Thanks again.
Thank you, Mickey, so very much for all that you've done. I just want to recognize how much work Mickey has done in this community to get this conversation started. And while doing that, bringing in the Black and Brown community. Thank you so much. We are going to now hear from Alexis Robinson Woods, the Executive Director of Call to Safety. Alexis.
Hi, everybody. And thank you for having me, Commissioners and Mayor Wheeler. My name is Alexis Robinson Woods. I use she and they pronouns. I currently serve as the executive director at Call to Safety. I've been part of this planning committee since 2019 for sure. And I believe it was Mickey or Serapy who actually contacted me. So I'm excited to still be in contact with these folks and still doing the kind of work that we're doing and keeping our heads up. For years, the Transgender Day of Visibility programming has highlighted the challenges specific to the transgender community in housing, workforce, education, public safety, and healthcare. If council really wants to move the digital dial significantly in these areas, Transgender Day of Visibility Planning Committee requests a tangible commitment to elevate and better resource this work within the city of Portland. This is vital to ensure the expansion of the work does not hinge on LGBTQA community volunteers and one city analyst. Position year after year can touch every aspect of the city's operations and beyond. This will become especially relevant as we approach November an increasingly seismic opportunity to improve the way the city focuses toward and uplifts marginalized populations. Mickey sat in front of this council in 2019 and asked for transgender equity to be woven into the equity plans, and we're in front of you today. That ask hasn't changed, but we've become more granular. We have long-term vision for robustly staffed and resourced office of LGBTQA affairs, which was where we started with our conversation with your office a few weeks ago. After talking with you and your staff, it became clear it's not feasible this year with the budget situation, but regardless, we are coming to you today to ask commitment to building something in the Office of LGBTQIA+ Affairs in the years ahead. Today, we're requesting the council's commitment to submit a budget note and the 2022-2023 budget to actualize an elevation and expansion of the LGBTQIA body of work within the city. In addition to the budget note and commitment to build this body of work, we would like to see the LGBTQ equity portfolio is reclassified and situated within the city equity infrastructure in a way that signals equal expertise in equity managers and an ability to make citywide changes. In our meetings, we also heard that the budget will not likely allow for additional positions this year, calendar year, but regardless, the Transgender Day of Visibility Planning Committee is also requesting the council's consideration to provide additional administrative capacity to support the current LGBTQ equity body of work within the city, even if it needs to be limited to the term ARPA funding. If you hear nothing else from that today, I want to be clear about our ask. The main ask today is commitment to building stronger and more robust LGBTQIS equity infrastructure within the city that has the access and authority to cut through red tape, expeditiously make the policy and funding decisions necessary to make Portland a safer and healthier place for all LGBTQIA+ and specifically transgender residents. If done well, this will save lives. And thank you. Back to you, Zelos.
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you very much for really clearly framing what this larger vision looks like, as well as the opportunity that we have today together to commit to building this work. Last on our panel today, I would like to introduce Ian Morton, another wonderful leader, friend, and colleague of mine who will help us zoom out to start envisioning what a commitment to build this work today can bring for our community.
Thank you so much, Zelos, and thank you, Mayor Wheeler and council members. My name is Ian Morton. My pronouns are he, him, and his, and I am the executive director at Q Center. My first go around, I thought I was going to be a minister, so if I preachify a little bit, I hope that you'll indulge me. I like to contextualize things. All of us who are leaders in this room have to make a determination from day to day as what is the right choice and what is the smart choice? For me, sometimes that looks like, should I be cozying up to rich folks who can help keep my little community center going, or should I be serving food in the auditorium to individuals who need a meal, a hot meal on a cold day? The smart choice is probably chasing the money, but the right choice is serving the community. And what excites me about this ask is I feel like we're at a nexus where the right choice and the smart choice are in alignment. As we come out of COVID, certainly so many of our nonprofits are understanding our interdependence that we've learned and how it doesn't make sense for us to try to stand alone. And I would love to see the city also embrace that sort of relationship with the community, with their nonprofits, with their leaders who are working tirelessly to make change, to fulfill the dream that so many folks hold of Portland as an LGBTQ2SIA destination. We have organizations, we have community members who are ready to move forward collaboratively and create this queer Portland, which is a significant role in being a better Portland. As you may recall, Mayor Wheeler, in my discussions with you in your office, Q Center is dreaming big. We want to see larger spaces where queer commerce, art, and resources can thrive. in my own personal estimation, when we do work that sees trans women of color making six-figure salaries, that's when we'll have done the work we need to be doing. And we talk specifically about trying to cobble together staff from the city, but I would hope that we can all agree that actually having the infrastructure formed is what makes sense. It's what helps us realize that dream. We and our community are an interwoven part of Portland's fabric, and it does beckon throughout the state and through the country. I mean, heck, y'all brought me up from beachside sunny San Diego, California to live here because I believe in the promise of the Pacific Northwest and the queer community of Portland. And I happen to be a gay Black man whose skill set, timing, and experience brought me into this job. But I have to say, this isn't the story that many of our queer community members, and especially our trans community members, are experiencing when they move into our city. Everything that was put out by Zelos and Mickey and Alexis, or what we experience daily here at Q Center, the stories of folks who come here for the dream, but we don't yet have the infrastructure to create a safe harbor for them to realize that dream. And that's really what we're asking for you all to do today. I personally am a care bearer at heart and an optimist, and I believe that everyone in this room wants to do the right thing for the most number of people. And our queer community is a part of that people. We need this infrastructure at the city level, and we also have a responsibility to our community members. I have it in our little community center space. All of you have it in your jurisdictions. And I'm optimistic that you will work with us. I'm optimistic that those of us who came to the table today and others who are starting to have conversations about what this ask will look like, that if the city puts in the work, we will come along beside you for this journey to put in the work. On my own end, I've said this publicly a couple times, but I make sure folks know it. I'm 1.5 years into what I have committed to as a 10-year stint here at Q Center. This is not going to be a short-term thing for me. This is a long-term. This is the legacy work I hope to do. And Mayor Wheeler, members of City Council, I want to walk alongside you hand in hand, and certainly with all of these esteemed colleagues of mine who've allowed me, a non-trans individual, to even speak at this. I'm here to be beside you, and I hope that you will take up that call, take up that invitation, and walk with us. So thank you very much.
You rock, Ian. You rock. Thank you to Mickey and Alexis and Ian for being here today to connect the reality to the vision to today's ask. Mayor Wheeler, Council, for the past few years, we have concluded TDOV with an ask for you to honor Transgender Day of Visibility, not just today, but in your work and the city's work every day. We want to do this together. Today's ask provides an institutional opportunity to just do that, but I'm going to add also a personal opportunity to do just that. We know that having an established office with more staff and more resources will not be a panacea, but it will continue to build on the vital work that has been started with the funding of the first LGBTQ+ focused position. At this point, I would like to thank the council and the mayor for your time today and for everyone's time today and the consideration of this ask. And I will pass this mic back to Mayor Wheeler.
Very good. Thank you. All thank you, Lex, Zelos, Mickey, Alexis, and Ian. We appreciate your being here today, and we appreciate your comments as well as the thoughtfulness of your ask. Colleagues, before the proclamation is read, would anyone like to make a comment or have any questions? Commissioner Mapps.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a few comments which I would like to share. If you'll just give me a moment to collect my thoughts for a second. Mr. Mayor, colleagues, I'm delighted to join you in declaring March 31st, 2022 to be Transgender Day of Visibility here in Portland, Oregon. On that day, we come together as a community to reaffirm our commitment to fighting for equality and prosperity for our transgender friends and neighbors. And on Transgender Day of Visibility, we recognize that there is much work still left to be done. Transgender Portlanders face shocking amounts of discrimination. As I believe Commissioner Hardesty said last year, Black transgender women are the most brutalized people on this planet. Transgender community members suffer from high levels of domestic violence. Members of the transgender community suffer from employment and housing discrimination, and they are more likely to find themselves homeless. And they are more likely to suffer from hate crimes. And our healthcare system continues to fail our transgender friends and neighbors. Portland must do better. And that's what Transgender Day of Visibility is all about. And that's why I want to take a moment to recognize and celebrate the people and organizations who are helping Portland's transgender community thrive. Let me start by expressing my appreciation to all of the community members who shared their powerful testimony with us today. Zelos, thank you. Mickey Gillette, thank you. Alexis Robinson Woods, thank you. And Ian Morton, thank you so much for the work that you do on behalf of our city. And I also want you to know that this council is committed to working with you to bring dignity and stability to Portland's transgender community. Now, just a few years ago, as was noted during testimony, Portland's LGBTQIA community came to this council and requested that the city of Portland create a position specifically dedicated to addressing the needs of Portland's queer community. And today, that position exists within the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and it is filled by our very capable colleague, Lex. However, we also know that there is much work left to be done. And that's why I want the Portland's transgender community to know that this council is committed to expanding resources for this work in the years to come. And I'd like to close today by saying this. On this Transgender Day of Visibility, this council sees our transgender friends, neighbors, and colleagues, and you look like Portland. Colleagues, for these reasons and more, I'm proud to join you in declaring March 31st, 2022 to be Transgender Day of Visibility here in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Mapps. Commissioner Hardesty, then Commissioner Rubio, then Commissioner Ryan.
First, I want to thank Seraphie Allen from your office, Mayor, for the incredible role they've played in continuing to make sure that we were addressing the issue of Transgender Day of Visibility and the life experiences of our transgender community partners. We're going to miss you, Seraphie. You've just been at the lead of so many of the great things that we've done in my time here at City Hall. So I thank you for that. I also want to thank you, Zelos, for an excellent job of facilitating the conversation today. And I want to thank you, Alexis and Mickey. I don't think the ask can be any clearer, and I want to make sure that I go through all three asks before I'm done with my remarks. Ian, what a pleasure to have you as part of our Portland community. You fit right in. You came at the right time into the right community, and I welcome you. Let me say that it breaks my heart that the same ask has been asked of this council since 2019, and there's actually been a little progress made, but not enough progress so that we can ensure that transgender, both community members and employees, feel welcome, feel respected, and feel like their career path is not impacted based on their gender identity. I can tell you there's not a minority group at the city of Portland who is not struggling to actually find a place and support in this system. I will tell you that the asked around making sure that Lex's position is on the same level as other equity directors makes sense to me. And I want to talk to you about how we make that happen during this budget process. I think everybody has said to you individually, there's 200,000 in new money that's ongoing. So basically there's no new money, but we can certainly be creative about creating the space intentionally to grow this program over the future. But without a plan, we will never get there. And I will commit myself and my office to working with you to figure out a timeline under which we address the creation of the office. In my time at City Hall, and I arrived at 2019, the same time you started asking these questions of us, what I have found is that the city does a great job of creating a one-person office, but we don't do a good job of actually creating the systems of support that allow minority and other groups to be able to actually build the power necessary for systems change. And I'm hopeful that as we are going through our transition in government, that that becomes part of the core of how we move from the form of government we have today to the form of government that will be recommended by our charter commission. I just want to be clear on the public record. I am a supporter. I'm absolutely committed to making sure that all employees at the City of Portland feel valued, respected, and appreciated for the incredible work that they do. And so thank you for this opportunity to remind us that Portlanders come in all flavors, and we are better for as many flavors of Portlanders that we have. So again, I appreciate your hard work. And I renew my commitment to work with you both in this budget process, but as well as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Arsti, Commissioner Rubio, then Commissioner Ryan.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. And thank you, Lex and the Transgender Day of Visibility Planning Committee for bringing this proclamation to council. And I also want to add my thanks to Seraphie Allen for working to set an excellent foundation for the work moving forward. And again, appreciations to Zelos, Nikki, Alexis, and Ian for this informative presentation. And in my new role with the Office of Equity and Human Rights, I'm very eager to begin to work more closely with the Bureau and to explore how my City Hall office and the city can be a best support to our transgender communities. I'd also like to especially appreciate Black, Indigenous, and people of color trans folks and the distinct visibility challenges they face. I had the opportunity to meet a few weeks ago with several trans activists, many of you here, and also had a great discussion about how we can do better. I also greatly appreciate the directness and frankness I heard in our discussion about trans justice and what an institutional commitment from the city truly looks like. I agree that the city, and not just the city, but all government institutions have much more work to do when it comes to addressing the challenges specific to trans communities in housing and workforce education, healthcare, and public safety. And as I mentioned in our meeting prior, our office and I am personally very committed to working together as well as with the Office of Equity and Human Rights to explore how our commitment shows up in funding and policy and advocacy and explore feasibility planning and also a roadmap to uplifting the work that we're discussing today. As elected officials, we all have a duty and a responsibility to call out injustices that we're seeing and addressing, not just in everyday life, but also in our workplaces. And also because these are, we're all combating the same thing that has ugly roots in white supremacy, colonialism, and patriarchy. So I just want to lift up, that along with, a lot of these challenges that we're working on, it's also we need to instead create an environment where we also celebrate the strength and the joy and the love that also comes from the trans community and how that translates into positive experiences of being able to bring our full selves to work and to our community lives in Portland. And that's really our charge as well, in all this as well. So I do want to, again, just say thank you. And I look forward to working with you on these policies to make sure that they better include the totality of all the lives of Portland. So thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Rubio. Commissioner Ryan.
Yes, excuse me. Thank you, Mayor and Lex, for bringing this forward. And yes, what an esteemed panel who spoke today in support of not just Transgender Day of Visibility, but about the fact that it's every day of the year. And thank you, Zelis, Mickey, Alexis, and Ian. You really are an esteemed panel. The recent meeting that my office had with some of you was very important, and I've been reflecting on it quite a bit. And then today, man, it was so clear. You really brought it home. Thank you. You showed up with so much clarity to challenge us about year-round visibility that includes definitely more intentional building. Your ask is clear, and my office will be collaborating, it sounds like, with a couple other offices so that we actually can create a plan. I'm honored to join you today to declare March 31st, 2022, be Transgender Day of Visibility. I said last year, and I'll say it again, we don't get to choose or decide another person's gender identity. We have never been able to. In the world in which people thought they had the privilege to do so is over. As many folks said during the presentation, this is an important day of recognition for the rights of not only transgender Oregonians, but for all trans people around the world. Especially, I keep thinking about friends and family and members across the nation in places like Florida, who are having their constitutional rights challenged at this very moment by discriminatory parental rights bills that would prohibit gender-affirming teachings. Sorry, I just bumped something. There it is. We know that people, especially young trans and non-binary people, they know who they are. I wish we just had more education to the masses so that our young people didn't have to hide or educate others about who they are. I know for me, there's always a coming out journey of many layers, and it took me a really long time to be open publicly about my status as someone living with HIV. I know it's not the same thing, but I had to work through my own internalized shame. And I'm just saying that it just takes so much strength and courage. For me, then last year, this was kind of the final moment. I was very inspired last year by this day to embrace me using the pronouns they and them more frequently as I embrace my totality as a human being. In my humble opinion, our march throughout human history has been unsteady, which is clearly visible today as things continue to unfold in Ukraine. But even still, our collective path as one people moves towards the arc of justice, toward a world where human beings are more accessible and free to be themselves. The Transgender Day of Visibility is an integral part of of this shared journey, and it recognizes the struggle that brought us to today and the work that still needs to be done. I'm so grateful to live in a city that embraces all the letters in the queer alphabet. Thank you all again for this important presentation, and I look forward to working on how we can better reflect on the experiences of our trans community in Portland. And Seraphie Allen, you have made such an impact on City Hall, especially raising awareness, understanding, and support for transgender equity. And I want to close on a personal note. Thank you, Alma Reyes, my fiance, soon to be spouse, for your courage to be out with your gender fluid status 8 years ago. When we met over 4 years ago, you've been very patient, honest, and yet viciously persistent with me to honor your truth, and in turn is helping me understand mine. With great pride, I support today's proclamation.
Thank you, Commissioner Ryan. And I'd like to take my moment to thank and recognize Lex for their great work since they joined the City of Portland nearly a year ago. You're the first person to occupy this important role, and you're managing a very large portfolio working on LGBTQIA+ issues for the city, acting as a liaison between community-based organizations and the city, and even working with us to coordinate the show here today. Lex has led the charge to better integrate the LGBTQIA+ equity lens into every aspect of our city's work, They provided educational and technical support to city staff and to elected officials. They've worked to identify and remove systemic barriers to fair and just distribution of resources, access, and opportunities for the LGBTQIA+ community. In the past 10 months, it seems a lot longer than that, but it's only been 10 months. In the last 10 months, they've led the city's work in collecting better data about our LGBTQIA+ community and designing LGBTQIA+ and transgender-specific educational opportunities, trainings for city staff. They've also led multiple human resources-related initiatives, including the development of a city-specific landing page to make it easier for employees to learn about gender-affirming healthcare coverage, and supported the design of a new culturally specific human resources position to improve the experience of LGBTQIA+ applicants and current employees. All of this work furthers the city's goal of becoming an employer of choice for our LGBTQIA+ community. Fantastic work, Lex. We're more than fortunate to have you. I look forward to continuing to support you in your work so that we can meet the needs of our LGBTQIA+ community, starting with discussing the requests that were made by the community here today. And finally, as so many have done today, I would like to recognize a very special member of my team, Seraphie Allen. Seraphie has been with me since the very beginning of my mayoral career. In fact, Seraphie was one of the very earliest volunteers on my first campaign for mayor and has been a leader on LGBTQIA+ issues and other policy areas, including economic development and housing, houselessness. Seraphie's last day with the city of Portland, regrettably, is this Friday. I'm very happy that one of their last pieces of work is the Transgender Day of Visibility, a project that they helped create for the city and that is very close to their heart. Seraphie, thank you for your service, and I wish you all the very best on your next role at the City of Redmond, Washington. They're lucky to have you, and you will be missed, and you will always have a family and a home here with us. Now I'll turn this back over to Lex to read the Transgender Day of Visibility Proclamation. I think Zelos and Alexis were planning on reading it, but I'll leave that up to you.
That's correct, Mayor. I'll pass it back over to Alexis and Zelos.
Thank you, Lex. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Whereas transgender, transmasculine, transfeminine, non-binary, genderqueer, genderfluid, two-spirit, agender, and gender non-conforming people have always existed and made important contributions to their communities. And whereas transphobic cultures, including that of the United States, continue to suppress the existence and contributions of transgender and gender non-conforming people, and whereas transphobia requires disparities negatively affecting transgender and gender non-conforming people in health, housing, employment, and all major aspects of life, and whereas white supremacy, ableism, anti-Blackness, misogyny, and transphobia are interconnected and depend on the continued violence against Black, Indigenous, and other people of color who are transgender or gender non-conforming, particularly Black transgender women, and whereas houselessness and housing services providers consistently fail to provide safe, welcoming, and knowledgeable support for transgender and gender non-conforming people experiencing houselessness. I'll turn it to you, Alexis.
Sorry, two different computers. I'm trying to read. Where did you leave off?
Last paragraph, after houselessness and whereas among cities.
Okay.
Sorry about this, folks. I'm trying to do too much at the same time. My other job, unfortunately, is sending me text messages while I'm trying to do this. Yeah, like I said, my work is never, ever done. Zelos, I'm going to let you go ahead and finish.
Oh, want me to wrap
I'm
it up?
Having I got trouble.
You. I got you.
Keeping track. I'm going to let you roll.
And whereas Black transgender people are multitasking at the speed of light. And whereas among cities in the United States, Portland is home to the second largest percentage of LGBTQ plus people per capita, including transgender and gender nonconforming people. And whereas the city of Portland strives to make our community safe and empowering for its transgender and gender nonconforming residents. And whereas the visibility, excuse me, whereas, no, I just lost my place. The city of Portland strives to make our community safe and empowering for its transgender and gender nonconforming residents. And whereas the city has not yet succeeded in this endeavor, and whereas visibility for transgender people is complex and nuanced and should not be a precondition for justice, and whereas Transgender Day of Visibility is an opportunity for the Portland City Commission and the city as a whole to recommit to partnering with the community to address our challenges and investing in city infrastructure that furthers this work.
Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2022, to be Transgender Day of Visibility in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this day. Thank you. Beautifully done. Thank you all for being here.
Most excellent.
Thank you. Everybody have a great afternoon. Keelan, that completes our agenda. Is that correct?
Yes, it does, Mayor.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for an uplifting session. That was really wonderful. Look forward to seeing you all soon. We are adjourned.